You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today walking on this road of life. Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4 is our phone number. You can text, you can call. You can email me anytime, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. It's D as in doctor, M as in Michelle, L-I-V-E, at breadboxmedia.com. You can look at previous podcasts by logging on to breadboxmedia.podbean.com. You can get the app, change the world. We have so many awesome things out there. It's growing. We are leaps and bounds evolving. You are part of us. What you are and who you are and how you respond to us, how you listen, what you want to hear. When you tell us, when you respond, we grow with you. We know, like being at a restaurant and saying, you know, I love this food. I would love to see a dessert on the menu. I would love to see some ice cream. And someone actually embracing that and saying, yeah, okay, we can go there. So many of us, we can go lots of different places, but we need your input to tell us, you know, I'd like to hear about this because you're this. If you think one thing, if you have one issue, you can better believe that there are 1,000 people out there who aren't going to speak your issue. They have the same issue that you do. They have the same questions, the same concerns, but they go ahead and put it out there thinking they're the only ones, and they're not. Why in the world would I talk about something as remote as someone who killed somebody in war? We're talking about marriage and living life, because not only are there other people out there that share that same experience right now in your neighborhoods and you in your own home, who are making your breakfast and getting your cars and shopping on Amazon, and your husband has come back from the Middle East, and I just had a sound. I have no idea what that sound is. So whatever that is, if anyone knows that, you can let me know. It came from my computer. Anyway, so with post-traumatic stress disorder, you're right there with them. You said goodbye. You said goodbye to them this morning on their way to work or on their way to the VA or on their way to go look for a PTSD dog. And then or on their way to take the kids to school. But we don't know that. Some of them know that their own spouse has post-traumatic stress disorder or suspects it, or the husband who suspects his wife may have post-traumatic stress disorder from a rape or from something he doesn't know about, or a traumatic childhood, or some kind of narcissistic boss or employer, or sexist boss or employer, or improper innuendos they can't put their finger on from their boss or employer that they don't even think to talk about, because what can they do about it? And it's changing their relationship and the dynamics in their own relationships. Have you ever experienced that? Where you know something must be going on. Actually, you don't know at first. You just know a little distance, a little irritability, a little bit more reclusiveness, and you start to wonder, well, what's going on? Then there's a little snappiness, a little edginess. Things aren't going quite as well as they were before. You're misunderstood more. you say something that normally would not have gotten any kind of reaction whatsoever, and you're getting this kind of edgy reaction, or things that seem normal, like refinancing a house or buying a car. These kinds of things are causing different kinds of reactions. They're showing up, but they're not really there. Something different. You're just noticing it, and you just can't put your finger on it. These are the things that when you mention it, when you say, as that one gentleman did, oh, last year sometime, I'm sitting on my couch, and he wanted to talk about this over the air. Sitting on my couch, I have been here for days, for months. I can't seem to get up off the couch. I'm in anxiety. I'm on a medication. And the first question was, should I change my medication or should I think about getting off my medication? And that's a good question. And we address that question. And of course, this program does nothing to diagnose or treat. Remember that. But we can certainly answer questions about that. So we're answering these questions, and then it starts to come up, but my mother, who I was very close to, died a couple years ago. That was more significant than I thought. And yes, I am now on my third marriage, and I'm starting to wonder about my children and my adult children. So I think that when you bring these things up and open them up, and that spurred someone else to ask a question about their own life, and it just branches out like roots from a tree. And it's beautiful. And so that's what we want. That's what we need. So we're going to talk a little bit today about surrendering into your own ethosphere. We're going to talk about surrendering into using your voice, surrendering into taking a breath and letting your body melt, into taking those little steps, listening, understanding, being, praying for wisdom, praying for understanding, praying for connection. And that connection may just be that in the oddest ways you can imagine, you are same song, different verse, always. The melody runs through. All your melodies run through. You sitting on the couch, the father of three grown children from three different marriages, who's now just had that one straw that broke the camel's proverbial back, and can't seem to get up off the couch and don't understand why. You stumble into your doctor. They do the doctor thing, and they give you some anti-anxiety or an antidepressant. You take it, and it's okay, but you don't really feel right about it, and your wife's noticing something different. This, I'm telling you the story. This is the actual story. This is not a pretend story. This is one they wanted shared over the air. So, you know, they're there, and then they say, hey, I've been listening to Dr. Michelle as I'm driving to the store every day. I'd like you to listen to this. And it could be any of the contributors. Maybe someone has just reviewed a book. Maybe someone's got something about the actual catechesis that may resonate with somebody. These are branching out. We have a tendency to say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Today, before our program, I spoke to someone who has been in jail for a good part of their lives, 20 years, 20 some years, who has very difficult catching a break at an older age, is, you know, has to live in with a roommate, has a job that's a very difficult job to do. And usually most people don't last to his age group. So everyone who's working there is younger. And, you know, the same song, different verse for all of us is that the crux of the whole thing is it would be really easy to go back to an older way of life where I know that I could find relief here. I could get some money right away. I could not have to live with roommates, and I wouldn't have to endure this particular situation that I'm in, where I'm alienated, I'm alone. And I don't see, I keep looking that it will get better, but it doesn't seem to get better. And that's his own Moses. That's his own being. That's his own desert. And it's no different than my desert, except that it's completely different in the material world, not in the once our bodies are gone and we're off into the supernatural world. But it really is same song, different verse. And once you can begin to identify with those who are really expressing the same thing, just from different places, a world will open up to you. You will be able to learn from them, and they will be able to learn from you. They won't be as closed into their own box by saying, well, what can you possibly have to offer me? You're a young mother who has a good job and a college education. But perhaps the concept of being in your own desert, by being in a situation where you've had some hard knocks in life, or you are trying to get back into a spiritual way of being after you've done some things that are heartbreaking or that are difficult for you, or you have gone through betrayals, those things, they're universal. So please embrace that. Embrace the universality of your own marginalization, of your own isolation, of your own feeling like you cannot find a thing that makes you an individual, of you seeking and feeling that not only is the door not open to you, but that it's been closed in your face, because the very group you see in the hallway with the light on, that you think maybe I can reach out to them, and you find that there's a barrier. So there are what is out there, what God's telling you, is that there really are no barriers. They're all illusions. They're all illusions. So we're going to get into that on the other side of this break. I am Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am Dr. Michelle, and you're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. You're walking with me today. We are walking together. We walk together so often, and I'm telling you, you all help me probably way more than I help you, and or we do it equally. It really is true. Same song, different verse. You just, if you open your heart up to that, and you see the oneness with which we're told all the time in our Catholic universal. Universe. That's universal. And that is a one true reality. Why did it come out Catholic and not Jesus Church? It's universal. He preached universality. He came for all, every single person. Every single person. And just because we're living in 2016, and just because we are here, and just because right now we're in a Western world, in a predominantly, wherever you're listening to this, you don't have to be in this Western world, but I'm coming at you from a definite Western Southern California world at this point. It doesn't mean that it's like has to be encased in this moment of the, in this vision of the day. It is universal. I saw, it was awesome. Do you remember? And many of you are too young, but do you remember when the wall came down in the Reagan era, East Berlin, the wall came down, and it was a huge, huge endeavor. But you know what really hit me? more than anything, because, you know, you're sitting there thinking, well, that is really cool. And it's a big moment in time and it's a great news story. But what are they all going to do? They're all used to, on either side. They're used to the generations of their way of life. And how do you just all of a sudden say, OK, fine, you're free now, you know, and not have a commerce and not have a this and that. And, you know, you could see all these things on the horizon that would be big obstacles. But you know what really got me? I happened to see a clip. And it wasn't just this particular artist. There were many, many people that did the same thing. But the clip I saw was Bruce Springsteen, who sang Chimes of Freedom. And that was written by Bob Dylan. And that song has been done many, many times. It is it's a beautiful song. And Bruce Springsteen is in East Berlin. And he did a little, I think he said a few things in German. He was interviewed by some of the German news people, and he had a little interview before and after. And so that was also very touching. But what was the most touching thing of all is that Bruce Springsteen is up on stage, excuse me, and he is singing Chimes of Freedom. He starts off singing Chimes of Freedom. And he's just American Bruce Springsteen. And I think he does Born in the USA and all these other things too. Some of his big hits. And there is a sea. It looked like Woodstock. A sea of people. Old, young, and not in fashion at all. But these people who were celebrating the tearing down of that wall that divided their country for so many years, with people patrolling on either sides with guns, basically. And they were on each other's shoulders, young people, just like they were going off to some spring break, older people, and they all knew the words. They all knew the words in English of this song. How does that happen? It happens because we are same song, different verse. I find it extremely touching. I saw another video. This is like Dr. Michelle gives you lessons in her life about how we can open ourselves up. Because I know people, I see people inside a professional world and outside the professional world who immediately find something to distance themselves. Oh, well, that's just them. And they didn't see what was going to happen around the block. And I wonder what they're doing now. They're probably starving. I mean, all these Eeyores, when we're talking about Winnie the Pooh and Benjamin Hoff in his book on the Tao of Pooh and the Tay of Piglet, you know, Eeyore and the Winnie the Pooh book. Oh, well, yeah, but it's going to rain tomorrow. I have been that Eeyore in my own life. Let me tell you something else I saw that I thought was so amazing. It was showcasing what was happening in, I think, Pakistan. And it was a model. It was a YouTube following a young model from the U.S., who was going to do Fashion Week in some city in Pakistan. And I saw this, I don't know, 6 months ago. And I don't even know when this video occurred. And she was having, you know, she was like giving a play by play and, you know, just model stuff too. Oh, I didn't bring this shoe and I didn't realize I had to have this. And, you know, I can't wear this particular thing. And then she actually went into some pretty hairy situations in places where she could have, if she were of that country, she could have been shot. But during this time, the interviews, they had a young homosexual man who was a designer, I guess. They had a couple who were fashion designers, I think, or they were marketers, and they did a whole fashion line. And each one of them in their artistic niche, of all the places where huge political statements could be made, and not in this not like we do in this country, where the political statement is just someone of celebrity speaking out on a podium, just by the very fact that they were having a fashion week, that they were having people from all over the world, models, gorgeous models, whatever we want to say, they're too skinny, they're too this, they're too that. Fashion week models. So you got money, you have celebrity, you have following, you have mass media. You're going to have it on YouTube. You're going to have it on news. You're going to have it in the airwaves. You're going to have it in the fashion world. You're going to have it in New York. You're going to have it in Paris. You're going to have it in Milan. You're going to have it all over the globe because it's fashion week. Something that I never even partake in. The only thing because at some point I watched whatever reality show it was where they went to fashion week every week or every however, and whoever won got to go to fashion week. So here they are making these statements. These people could not be subject to the law of the time of right there, right then. They couldn't be taken out in stone. They couldn't be shot because the eyes of the world weren't on them to see what they were going to do. They were just all the fashion people were there. The designers, the people who were shot, the richest of the rich who wanted those fashions, the people from New York, the people from Milan, they're all going to be there. The beauty of this all is that the political statements that were being made weren't being made by a celebrity standing on a podium speaking some political opinion. It was made in the very fact that the world was saying, you know what? You're over there. You think that you are starting a new world order, but you know what? We got our money. We got our jets. We have our fashion week. We know we go to New York. We go to Milan. We go to Hong Kong. We're movers, and we're all over the globe. We're young. We're old. We're artists. We're people who do the sewing. We're seamstresses. We're all that. We're the people who are going to eventually get these kinds of ideas down into Walmarts. We're kind of like, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, our eyes are on your country only because not watching you, threatening you that you can, but we're kind of like walking over you. And I thought that was pretty awesome. And there are huge consequences for that. In the news 3 days ago, a young woman who is the Kim Kardashian of her country was strangled to death by her brother for honor. You know, so this is very, very real. And this all ties down to the same song, different verse of what we face every single day, more or less, not as extreme, not as life-threatening, but in our own way. So we need to connect as the net. What do you think the net is about when Jesus was made everyone the fisher, made Peter the fisher, the apostles a fisher of men? What do you think?
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me, and I'm walking with you on this road of life. I'm Dr. Michelle Long. 573-4BREAD-4. We're discussing the tapestry of life. You know, it's, I love the eclectic, if y'all haven't figured that out by now. I was talking to a listener yesterday who said, the program's always different. And it's so funny because in part of my way of being, to me, it seems like it's always the same because we are walking on this road and roads always change. Scenery is always different. There's always, even when I look out that same window, there's always a different flower. There's always a different plant. There's always a different bird, a big bird. I saw a big, awkward bird. It must be a teenage bird somewhere. I don't even know what kind it was. Land on a kind of something that looked a bit like a large lily type thing. And it's like, it was too heavy for what it landed on. And it was kind of funny. And that never happened before and may never happen again. But in that very moment, there's an instant of life. Life goes by very fleetingly. We have a very paradoxical viewpoint of time. And our paradoxical viewpoint of time is, we can say, well, that gets us in trouble. We got to stop and smell the roses and we have to be appreciative of this and that. Yes, we're always being reminded of that. That's the beauty of belonging to a spiritual base. Because you have a reminder. You don't have this, don't go there, don't go here, don't go there, stop this, be afraid, be afraid. That's what our secular world has us doing, and it fosters mental health. And I love mental health. I love the mental health world because we need it. So you do need your counselors. You do need your doctors. I have to have my doctors. If I twist my ankle, or as I did lifting 200 pound parcels, herniate a disc, two discs, by the way, I need a doctor. Now, I don't necessarily need surgery. I have to find out, do I need surgery? Somebody has to tell me because I read all the things that can happen. Oh my gosh, where they are, you could be paralyzed in a second, or you could never walk again. Or, you know, and then you're thinking, oh, well, do I have that feeling over here? You need a guide, or you will be in a constant state of angst, confusion, and turmoil, not trying to figure stuff out for yourself. Figuring things out for yourself can be good, but they can also lead to a lot of expended energy. We have a very, very odd, paradoxical time warp in life. It's part of living experience. When you're young, you think you're never going to die, although you're told you're going to die and you see people around you dying, but you don't have that in your screen. It's not a matter of intellectually not thinking you're going to die. It's just a matter of, it's just not a reality to you. It is something that just doesn't seem like it's just not part of your world, even though you can feel very sad when your grandparent dies or when your friend dies, and you can be shocked and cry. It's not like you're indifferent. It just does not click that that's a reality. And of course, because we have a road and that road is constantly changing, it is leading to a place. And in that place, in order to get to the most awesome, highest mountaintop village that is pristine with the best air and the best water, you can't just live in the middle of LA. You have to go to that place, journey to that place, and then take the journey upward if you really want to taste a pristine well that has never had smog, that has never had a car run by it, has never had a human foot in it. Yeah, I don't even know if those places exist anymore. But if they do, in order to get there, and that's our beyond, that's our spiritual supernatural. By definition, we have to shed a corpse that is still living. I mean, I know that sounds gross. And in the meantime, we have to embrace it and love it, because that is what we're here for, the journey. So we can't just think, oh my gosh, I'm going to be gone somewhere. I got to always have my nose to the grindstone. No, you have lipstick, you have hair, you walked away, you love to enjoy. That's why we have this replenishing earth. It replenishes its forest. It replenishes its people. And that's what we do. And then we get joy. We get joy out of the replenishment. So we need to bring joy to that too. And that's why I originally talked about the whole thing that happened, you know, the fact we are same song, different verse, the fact that it can bring joy to me to see people that I will never meet in a situation I've never been in, that people in my country were in way back before my folks ever got here in the Civil War, but a whole different ballgame. But that had a wall dividing that country, but they knew the universal language of rock and roll, of Bruce Springsteen. And if that had been 100 years before, they might have known the universal language of some little song that came by from some traveler. Why do we have the Silk Road? Why did we have, you know, the Adventures of Marco Polo? Because people wanted to know what others were doing. How were they doing it? Because they want to know. They enrich their lives. And that's our mission. That's our goal. And so how do you do it? How do you do it? By being the healthiest, most awesome person you can be. And that's what our goals are. And that's why our shows are always changing, because it's never stagnant. Any show you want to listen to, it's always a new book being read, a new way to look at the gospel, a new way to think about being a young man on this earth, to think about how to be a young mother on this earth, a divorced mother, a married mother, a divorced husband, a married husband, how to do your finances. These are all really important things. So now I'm kind of stating the obvious here. So let's go to see what, again, I like to put in these different people, not so that you think that we're, you know, anti anything, but here we go with a very, with a Catholic author who, is Robert J. Wicks, the one I like to quote from a lot, because he does deal with people with psychological trauma, but he's a real learned guy. So he draws from everywhere. I love drawing from everywhere. So he's talking about time as well. And in this, it's from Riding the Dragon, it's way at the end. And there are different steps that you can take. And he talks about time. So listen to this. Time is a very precious gift. How we spend it, who we share it with, and whether we truly value it as a wondrous opportunity tells a lot about us and the way we live. We take time for granted and even disrespect the very limited period we are given in our small life. As the Dalai Lama recognized in The Path to Tranquility, and now he quotes the Dalai Lama, try to develop a deep conviction that the present human body has great potential and that you shall never waste even a single minute of its use. Not taking any essence of this precious human existence, but just wasting it, is almost like taking poison while being fully aware of the consequences of doing so. It is very wrong for people to feel deeply sad when they lose some money. Yet when they waste the precious moments of their lives, they do not have the slightest feeling of repentance. That to me is awesome. Now, Robert Wicks goes on to say, taking time out, whether in groups or alone, helps us come to ourselves, helps us come home to ourselves. Silence offers pristine. We can come to appreciate this space and then seek it out like cool water on a hot day or a cozy fire on a frigid night. We will seek to do it regularly. It's like meeting an old friend for breakfast, not out of duty or guilt, but rather for our own fulfillment. And then he goes on to talk about honor your resistances, which I want to go into as well. We talked about how to kind of give yourself a bit of a break here and how to partake in the meditation of God's wonderful earth, to get it out of your head and into your experience. And so he says, however, if a place for meditation were just a place of peace, more people would do it more often. But such a place is also a place of life, truth, and therefore of challenge. So the quiet spaces we treasure in our fantasies will never become a reality in our schedule unless we come to know and honor our resistances. In this way, when our resistances surface, we will not damage our silence, but they will be welcomed like old friends or restless children who need understanding, patience, and love. Some of these old friends and restless children take the form of, and I'll read you a couple before the break, worries about what we need to do or didn't do, resentment of others, shame about ourselves, boredom and restlessness because we are always on the move. Now, I'm going to stop here before we break and finish on the other side of the break, because on the one hand, the truth is spoken through what Robert Wicks quotes the Dalai Lama as saying. What an amazing, humbling thing to be aware of, that we are so worried about losing money, let's say, and yet we have no repentance about wasting a moment of our life. And what are these time wasters? Those are the things that become our resistances to taking the silence. And so this we're going to get to on the other side of the break. Tune in. See you on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are walking with me on Dr. Michelle Live. So before the break, excuse me, Dr. Michelle Live is so live that I don't have the time to push that little mute button, and you'll have to just be with me when I cough. So thank you all for that. So we are on this road of life, and this life is never the same, even though sometimes it seems the same. And I find that the more that we just keep repeating the variation of the theme, every great composer, known to man, has a variation of a theme. Mozart, name of my dog, by the way, but Mozart, who composed, without knowing it, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, if you've ever heard the variation on my dog, and he just, hello there. As I'm talking about the composer, he heard his name, so he's coming over here for a nice little pet. He's an animal, remember Job 12:7, animals live in the very present. He hears his name, he goes, ah, it must be something beautiful. I'm coming over there. So anyway, Mozart, yes, you, when he did his variations for little children as a teacher, Google the variations of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And if you follow it, it is so beautiful. And I don't think they were called Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. They were just variations of a theme to teach children how to play music and how to read notes and how to do scales and how to exercise their fingers. And we have to understand that life is filled, that we have Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star today, because way back Mozart, who died very young, not you, doggy, who died very young, who could have gone off into obscurity, but he was a complete genius. He had a tough life. The man had a tough life, and he had lots of sketchy things go on, if you know anything about his history. But he embraced who he was. And just the fact that he just didn't take one little exercise and go, okay, yeah, the kids are going to learn this, big deal. Or take something that was handed down by the state government. But he created, and he was allowed to create. And then he ran with it. And when he ran with it, he kept doing more and more variations of that theme. Beautiful, beautiful variations. And eventually, 2016, we have Fisher-Price incorporating and changing the words, by the way, which drives me crazy when I do something with my little granddaughter. But we have that same melody right here today. He never would have been able to imagine Fisher-Price that you could order on Amazon. that would have his little, you know, I mean, look at this amazing world we live in. So here are some of the things that take you out of your space, that take you out of your being able to grasp that precious second, millisecond of your life today, here and now. And I know I am talking to you who are sitting there and going, are you even kidding me? I've already been through school. I already have a profession. I don't like my job. My kids are driving me crazy. My husband is just sitting there and, you know, and I'm looking at him thinking, who the heck are you? And are you really going to say that again? And why don't I get you a different shirt? I mean, these very mundane things of life. And you're, and in some way, it's like, I can't relate to my precious second in life. Well, you have to relate to your precious second in life, because I'm telling you, you have, right now, your breath is precious. Your breath is feed, your breath right now, in your car, in your, pushing your grocery cart, in your ear pods, while you are walking down a path, while you're picking up your kids from school, while you're getting frustrated, while you're like going, I can't deal with this any longer. Or why did that person post that on Instagram? That very breath you have right now is feeding my plant over here and this hummingbird that I'm watching out my window coming to this tree. Do you realize that? You're giving life to my trees. All these, wherever you are, you could be in Portugal. Your breath is giving life. It's being carried right now, taken up. Little messengers, just imagine them as little angels with little wings, taking your little happy molecules coming out of your own mouth, out of your own lungs, that are expelling things that we just consider waste products, because you would die if you kept them in your body all that long, in your breath. You can't have all, you breathe out carbon dioxide. You can't have that rolling around too strong in your breath. But it's being carried on the wind to give life to the trees. How amazingly awesome is that? You have to, you please get that. It's beautiful. If you did not expel, if you didn't eat whatever you ate yesterday or today or this morning, drank the coffee you drank, breathed the air you breathed into, cleansed it in your own lungs, let it roll around your own bloodstream and be pushed out as waste products out into the air, I wouldn't have this tree. So know that, and if other animals did, I mean, we think of our waste and we're waste and we have to like get all these perfumes everywhere. No, those perfumes, those petroleum product perfumes that we think are like masking the scent of your kid's body odor. And when you do your wash, boy, am I getting off the subject, but this is huge stuff. As we spew it out from our dryers and we think we're scenting the world, like we're going to improve on the world and people, and I'm going to be doing a program on this. People get all freaked out because someone has a tattoo, like you're altering your body. Well, are you altering the whole universe by spewing out a petroleum product that happens to be so fragrant that it sticks to absolutely everything around you? I'm off subject, but I'm really not. These are the precious moments of your life. Let me tell you about a precious moment of my life that was co-opted and carried away by a dishwashing detergent. And yes, it was. I go to get my regular brand of, and it was on sale, just something I could wash some dishes with. And the fragrance was so strong, it made me kind of sick. And then I'm washing my dog's bowl out of it. And a dog, my dog, who I've already read, can smell a teaspoon of sugar in a swimming pool of water. So if it's making me sick, I can't even imagine what's doing to him. However, I'm realizing that when I wash his bowl with this and put water in it, that he's probably getting things I'm not even getting, because it's a petroleum product and the thing sticks. My dishes smell like this thing. So therefore, if my dishes have perfume, that means there's a residue. And what is that residue? That residue is a layer of chemicals that we are not even aware of. We are altering, and what do they have in them? Probably some phthalates. And what are those things? Those things are hormone disruptors. So your children are having hormone disruptors in the very products you're using to make their smell sweet. and yet we're worried when they might want to dye the ends of their hair pink. We need to be changing our perspective a bit and doing what Robert J. Wicks quotes the Dalai Lama as saying, not taking any essence of this precious human existence, but just wasting it, is almost like taking poison by being fully aware of the consequences of doing so. So what are your resistance to taking some moments in your spaces? Well, I'm going to add some of your resistance are being drifted away by somebody else's dryer sheets because they're so strong, they're sticking to your trees. You're worried about what we need to do or don't need to do. We resent others is what he says. And that invades our space. That's why that whole idea of putting that chair in the living room of your mind and see what walks through, because chances are there going to be some resentment for some boss, some teacher, some mother, some somebody out there. Shame about ourselves. Worried that we smell bad. So we have to go out and shop the latest thing and smell all these different deals. And that wastes time. Do you really need to have to be faced with about 50, at least, depending on what store you go to, different kinds of laundry detergent? Boredom and restlessness because we are always on the move. A stream of great ideas that we must write down now. Regrets about how we have lived. Fears about living differently because, after all, what will people think? How will they react? Concern about how hard change will be. That's a big one. Discouragement that our prayer or meditation doesn't seem as good, refreshing, or as natural as that of those who teach or write about it. So here's the other one. Feelings that meditation is a luxury, lacks importance, or isn't as practical or as effective as action. So no one warns us about these natural resistances. They are natural. And many of us get so discouraged that we, at the very beginning of when we're supposed to be nourished by our quiet prayer, as Robert J. Wicks talks about, and that this is shame and unnecessary. So here's what I want to leave you with today. Take just a moment. And know that all these worries, concerns, these things that just get you up off your seat, flood your brain, it's all natural. This is a journey. This is a process. This is step by step. Our celebrities are out there not to necessarily emulate. Our saints are out there not to say, gee, I can't be like her, or I have to pretend how to suffer and make myself suffer, or I have to be all or nothing. Or the things about being shameful, or have to be a little bit more this, a little bit more that. Take these messages. Don't look at necessarily that you have to be all inclusive in one moment of your life. Realize that the very breath you just breathed in listening to this, all the different breaths, just nourish my trees over here, and I'm thanking you for it. Realize that you are an important, integral part of the rest of the existence of this planet. And all you have to do is just be. I'm Dr. Michelle Buell. See you tomorrow. Thank you for talking with me today on Dr. Michelle Buell.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.